Yeah, we were talking about the mitzvah kia shofar and the structure of the musaf prayer, and again, you'll remember that the musaf of Rosh Hashanah is very unique because, unlike every other musaf that just has a single middle bracha, first three, last three, and single middle bracha, which is called Kedushas Hayom, the bracha of the Kedusha of the day, whether it's Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, or Yom Tov, or even Yom Kippur, the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah has three middle brachos that are called Malchios, Sichronos, and Shofros. And after each of those middle brachos, we blow the shofar. Now, again, just to quickly review, the source for which Chazal based the idea of nine brachos, because nine is the only Shemoneh Esrei that has nine brachos, is based on the prayer of Chana, that when Chana thanks Hashem after the birth of Shmuel, and this is the Haftorah of the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Remember that Chana became pregnant on Rosh Hashanah, so she mentions the Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, nine times. And in order to invoke her merit and to remind us of the bracha that Hashem gave Chana on Rosh Hashanah, so our Shemoneh Esrei has nine mentions of Hashem's name. I'm not sure if I mentioned this idea too. The Marsha says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, he brings from Rav Yosef Albo. Rav Yosef Albo was a great philosopher in the 14th century, 1300s. He wrote a sefer, which is still a very, very important sefer in Jewish philosophy, Sefer HaIkarim. And the Sefer HaIkarim has an interesting thesis. We know that the Rambam says there are 13 principles of faith, that a Jew must believe 13 basic ideas. If you don't believe any of one of those ideas, you are a kofir, a heretic, an apikoris, etc. The Rambam implies that a denial of any one of those principles means you don't get a share in Olam Haba. Unlike, for example, if a person desecrates Shabbos, a person eats treif, a person does all the Averos, so even though there's punishment and Gehenim, but there's still a share in the world to come. If there's kefira in the Yud Gimel Ikrei Amuna, one does not have a share in the world to come. This is the Rambam Shita. Now, there is a machlokes within the Rambam. How does that apply to somebody who doesn't believe in the Yikrei Amuna because they were never taught? Some are Mekel, and some are Machmer even in that. Well, we'll talk about that maybe another time. Maybe a question and answer later in the week. But the Rambam says there are 13 principles. So let's say, for example, I believe in Hashem, I believe in the Torah, but I don't think there's physical resurrection. I think all there is the soul goes to Olam Haba. According to the Rambam, because you have denied principle number 13, which is Tchiyas HaMeisim, you're a heretic. Rav Yosef Albo took a very different position. Rav Yosef Albo said, there are not 13 things a Jew has to believe in. There's only three things. And Rav Albo was mechalek between ideas that are called Ikarim, which are roots, and that which are called Anafim, which are branches. And he claimed that many of the things that the Rambam classified as Ikarim are simply branches or offshoots, so even if you don't believe them, now he's not saying he doesn't believe them, he believes every one of them, but he says if you don't believe them, you are mistaken, but just because you're mistaken doesn't mean you're heretical. So Rav Albo said that there's only three fundamental principles. One is, there is the God that created heaven and earth. Number two, this God that created heaven and earth cares about good and evil, meaning he rewards good, either in this world or the next world, and he punishes evil. And number three, the definition of good and evil is not left to our conscience or the New York Times or the Jerusalem Post, but it is based on revelation that the Torah came from heaven. Now, just so you understand this, let's take something like this. The Rambam's principle number 12 is a belief in Mashiach, and principle number 13 is a belief in Tchiyas HaMeisim. Now, let's say I were to be a Jew that simply didn't believe in Mashiach. Let's say my position would be that the reward for mitzvahs is Olam Haba. The Rambam would say, you're a kofir, you're denying two principles. Rav Albo would say, as long as you believe that there is divine reward and punishment, even if you are mistaken regarding the particular form that divine punishment takes, or reward takes, That is simply making a mistake in a branch and not in a root, and therefore one is not a kofer. Now again, people misunderstand the Sefer Ikarim, because often, for example, if you open up a Sefer Ikarim at random, what you will find is, you'll find a discussion in which he tries to show that belief in Mashiach is not mandatory. So people might read that and think, oh, Rav Albo was saying there doesn't have to be Mashiach. You have to know that's not what he's saying. He, of course, believes in Mashiach. He is just trying to say that your failure to believe in Mashiach is a mistaken belief, but it is not a heretical belief. This is a very, very important distinction. He is not denying any of these beliefs, but he is simply making the point that not every mistake in theology equals what is called heresy or apikorsis or whatever. By the way, today, people throw around the label apikorsis for everything. You know, if you don't, whatever it is, if you get a job or go to the army, you're an apikorsis. And obviously, those things are vastly misused. Okay, so based on this idea, the Marsha says that the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, the three middle brachos, are designed to correspond, each one is designed to correspond to one of the foundational principles of Rabbi Yosef Alba. The first of the three brachos is Malchios, Hashem is king. That affirms the idea that he is the creator of heaven and earth, that makes him king. He created it. He made us. That is what gives him his ownership over us. The second idea of remembrance, Zichronos, right? God remembers good. What is that basically saying? That's basically saying that God rewards good and punishes evil. Okay, that's Schar V'Onesh. And the third section, which is Shofaros, right? What is Shofaros? So Shofaros has a number of different themes, but the primary idea of Shofaros is to remind us of Matan Torah that was given with the Shofar. It's Torah Min HaShemayim. So in a sense, all of this is really Malchius, because what you're doing is you're proclaiming Hashem's kingship by affirming the three fundamental foundations of Judaism. That there is a God, there is reward and punishment, and there is the revelation of Torah from heaven. But in a way, you understand why Malchios is the mega theme, because the Malchios of Hashem, the kingdom of Hashem, is manifest by my belief and my affirmation and my acceptance of these three Ikrei Emunah. This is the Marsha on Rosh Hashanah. Actually, now that I remember, I believe he's not just saying it based on the Ikarim. I believe he actually quotes Rav Yosef. I think Rav Yosef Albo himself says that this is the theme of the Rosh Hashanah service. So you'll remember that all three brachos, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofaros, have the identical structure. There is a poetic pesicha, an opening, a beautiful opening that gives the theme. The opening of Malchios is the famous prayer Aleinu that all of us know, but now, unfortunately, we often don't say it with the requisite kavana, and this is the kavana. We then have 10 psukim that talk about Hashem as Melech, and the 10 psukim go with a very specific pattern, three from the Torah, three from the Kesuvim, and the Kesuvim are always Tehillim, and three from the Nevi'im, and the 10th verse is the Torah. Now you'll remember that the 10th verse of Malchios is the only pasuk of Malchios that doesn't mention Hashem as Melech, because we've run out of psukim. There's only three psukim in the Torah that mention Hashem as Melech, since we need a fourth one to make number 10. So Chazal picked a substitute Malchios Pasuk, and that is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Again, you might be confused. The person just davening, you're davening along there, and all of a sudden you say Shema, and you're wondering, why am I saying Shema now? You might say, well, we do say Shema in the middle of Kedusha of Musaf every Shabbos, but there's a very specific reason. And you know why you say Shema in the middle of the Musaf of Shabbos. The reason is, that's a historical reason, that there was a time during the Byzantine Empire of persecutions, when they would actually put soldiers in the shul to make sure that Jews didn't say Shema, so they had to go straight to Shemona Esrei. So once they started Shemona Esrei, these soldiers were batuach that they wouldn't say Shema anymore because the time for Shema passed. But in order that we should still have the mitzvah on some level, Chazal were mesakein to mention the Shema in the middle of Kedushas. That's a historical reason. But that wouldn't explain why I say Shema in the middle of the silent Shema Nesrei Yosef. But the answer is very pushing. Shema is the 10th verse of Malchios, that by proclaiming that God is one, that means God is supreme, that is proclaiming Hashem as the king, right? So Shema Yisrael is the Makor, is the 10th Pasuk of Malchios. We then went to Zichronos. Again, same idea. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. And after the Psukim, we have the Chasima, the poetic ending, which is Moloch al kol ha'olam, a prayer that Hashem should rule over the whole world, and everyone should acknowledge his rule. And it ends Melech al kol ha'aretz, because Malchios, the king over the whole world, Mekadesh Yisrael, he sanctifies Israel, and the day of remembrance. So even in Malchios, we call Rosh Hashanah the day of remembrance. Okay. We then go to Zichronos, same thing. Poetic opening, how Hashem remembers our thoughts and our deeds and our actions. Then we have 10 verses about Hashem remembering, 3 from the Torah, 3 from the Ksuvim, 3 from the Nevi'im, and the 10th one from the Torah, which talks about Hashem remembering the covenant. And then we conclude with a poetic paragraph, which is actually in Davening Every Day, Korbanos, in which we ask Hashem to remember the Akedah, remember the merit of Yitzchak. And it ends, Ki zocher kol hanishkachos atahu me'olam. You, Hashem, remember all that is forgotten from here until eternity. V'yein shichacha lifnei kisei kavodecha. There is no forgetfulness in front of your throne of glory. The Bali Musar say the following. What does it say? You, Hashem, remember all that is forgotten. So the pshat is this. What we forget, Hashem remembers. What we remember, Hashem forgets. What does that mean? I do mitzvahs. And I always remember them. I'm so proud of them. I always say, oh, I've done so many good things. I remember every great thing that I did. Hashem forgets. I forget, meaning I don't focus on begaiva and all my things. Hashem remembers. Averos. I forget my averos. I don't think about them to do tshuva. Hashem remembers. I remember my averos. I'm conscious of them. I do tshuva. Hashem forgets. So, the language of the tefillah is very exact. Hashem remembers that which we forget. By implication, Hashem forgets that which we remember. Now, he doesn't really forget, but he acts as if he forgets. Okay. Now, the next line is, Akedas Yitzchak Lezaro Hayom Barachamim Tiskor. The sacrifice of Yitzchak, the willingness of Yitzchak to give his life, which our Maseres says was on Rosh Hashanah. In fact, that's why, although any animal horn is kosher for a shofar, you're supposed to blow a ram's horn, because a ram is a zecher of Akedas Yitzchak. And we say, Akedas Yitzchak Lizaro Hayom Barachamim Tiskor. Remember the binding, Akedah actually means binding, not sacrifice, the tying down of Yitzchak to his children. So if you look, I think even the art scroll has it in parentheses, but maybe they take it out, that there are actually two nuschais. Some people don't like the nusach, remember the Akedah to the children of Yitzchak, because they say, well, that's not quite good, because Yitzchak has two sons, Yaakov and Esav. We don't want Hashem to remember the merit of Akedas Yitzchak to the descendants of Esav. That would give them a merit they could use against us. So as a result, they have a slight change in the girsa, which you'll see in a lot of machzorim in parentheses. Instead of saying, Akedas Yitzchak Lazaro Tiskor, the sacrifice of Yitzchak remember to his children, it'll say, Akedas Yitzchak Lazaro Shel Yaakov. Remember the binding of Yitzchak to the children of Yaakov. That's why Yaakov comes in, to be extra, extra sure. Now, of course, Hashem knows what we mean even with the other way, but to be extra, extra sure that we're targeting it. that this should be a merit for the Jewish people. Some say you put in the nusach, Akedas Yitzchak Lazaro Shel Yaakov. Yeah.
Is it possible that maybe on some level Esav was, I guess, the stolen, so even if you were to say he's chosen, you wouldn't refer to him?
Yeah, that's very correct. We do know that Esav is not considered a grandson of Avraham. That the Gemara says, because it says Hashem told Avraham, Ki be Yitzchak, within Yitzchak you should have seed. So the Yitzchak excludes Yishmael, and within Yitzchak excludes the Esav. So it's very, very clear that Esav is not Zera Avraham. But the machlokas here is Esav still considered to be Zera Yitzchak? And that's the machlokas in the Gersa. Yeah, so that's why, again, you'll see, unfortunately, we don't have really time and either just to learn slichos or even to learn the davening that well. But when you start delving into it, you see every little thing, you know, things in parentheses and this gears and that gears, everything has reasons. There are reasons why this parenthesis is in, and there are reasons why some people don't say it. They're not just little things. So this would be one reason. And then it ends, Baruch Ata Hashem, what do we ask Hashem to remember? Zocher Habris, remember the covenant, which means, now the covenant is a very important point, because that's our last ditch effort. Even if we don't have merits, even if we don't have mitzvahs, even if we're not deserving, but Hashem, you made a covenant with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that you would not destroy their children. You would give their children the land of Israel. So as a result, we basically say, okay, maybe we're down to the bottom, what do they call it in poker, the trump card, or the bottom of the barrel, whatever it is. This is our last hand. But we say, Zocher Habris, you have a deal, you have a covenant. And that's what we ask Hashem to do. Okay? That's Zichronos. Now, we then come to Shofaros. And Shofaros, in a sense, is a little difficult because Shofaros does not have a single theme. Malchios is creation, Zichronos is remembrance. Shofaros is a miscellany of ideas connected to Shofar. I mentioned Rav Yosef Albo said it was primarily Torah Min HaShemayim, but that's not the only thing it deals with. We start off with an opening, a poetic opening, and the poetic opening does describe the great day of Matan Torah, revelation, when Hashem appeared to us through the sound of a shofar. And remember, this was a shofar that got stronger as it kept on going, unlike most shofars in which our blowing gets weaker the longer we go. But after that psicha, we have our psukim, three Torah, three Ksuvim, three Nevi'im. But what's interesting about this is, and then it tends to Torah, but what's interesting is that here, each grouping deals with a different aspect of Shofar. The three Psukim of the Torah all deal with the Shofar of Matan Torah. The three Psukim from Ksuvim deal with the mitzvah that we do to blow the Shofar. And the three from the Nevi'im deal with the future shofar of Mashiach and in gathering the exiles. So you can actually say, with apologies to Charles Dickens, you can actually say that there is shofar past and shofar present and shofar future. Shofar past, Matan Torah. Shofar present, what we're doing today. Shofar future, the shofar of Mashiach. And that's an amazing thing. Because the present is, of course, the bridge between the past and the future. And in a sense, when we're blowing the shofar, we are both remembering the past, Matan Torah, the Akedah, and we're also thinking about the future, Mashiach, ingathering, and the like. And that's why it literally moves from past to present to future. Yeah.
Is it sort of connected to the better divide?
Well, that's correct. Of course, today the Bayi Sheni is also passed.
Right.
but certainly at the time that. But you are correct. This was actually authored. These prayers were authored during the Bayi Sheni. Hmm. Yeah. Now, it is a little complicated. If you sit down with your machshir, I don't think we have time to go over this biarichas. Malchus and Zichronos is very straightforward. You have your 3-3-3-1. 3-3-3-1. When it comes to shofaros, you seem to have some extra stuff there. There seems to be, for example, 4 verses from Ksuvim instead of 3, and your 10th verse from the Torah is not about shofar, but it's about an analogous mitzvah, which is really a different mitzvah. That is, there were two blowings. We forget about this. There's a blowing of the shofar, which was only twice a year. I'm sorry, well, every year, Rosh Hashanah, and every 50 years, the Yom Kippur of Yovel. Right? Otherwise, they didn't blow shofar. But there was another mitzvah of blowing that only applied in the Beis HaMikdash. And that is a mitzvah to blow silver trumpets. Moshe was commanded to make silver trumpets. These are called chatzotros. And they existed during the temples. And they were to be blown at various times. They were to be blown in time of war. They were to be blown every Yom Tov and Rosh Chodesh. And even on Rosh Hashanah, chatzotros were blown. So on Rosh Hashanah, in the Beis HaMikdash, if you would show up, you would hear both the trumpets blown and the shofar blown. They're blown at the same time, actually. But the Mishnah explains that since the special Rosh Hashanah mitzvah was the shofar would be longer. So, for example, what you'd have is, you'd have three people. Right? You'd have two people blowing silver trumpets, and one person blowing shofar. And when the makri would say tekiah, all three people would be blowing, but the trumpets would stop early, so the shofar sound would go longer. Now, let me emphasize, this was only in the Beis HaMikdash itself. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, there's only shofar. There's not chatzotros. But in the Beis HaMikdash, there was chatzotros and shofar. And in some ways, chatzotros was a more common mitzvah, because, let's say, on Rosh Hashanah, you had the shofar and the chatzotros. On Pesach, there's no mitzvah of shofar. They only blew the chatzotros. So what's a little strange, I'm not going to answer the kasha right now, is that the 10th pasuk of blowing is not about shofar, it's about chatzotros. So the structure of shofar is a little more complicated. We seem to have extra Kesuvim verses, and we seem to be missing one Torah verse. In fact, that might be the answer in a difficult way, that we ran out of, again, just like Shema, we ran out of shofar verses in the Torah, so we used chatzotros. But since that's not really shofar, we have to make up 10 by using an extra Kesuvim. In other words, it's connected that way, where Chazal are committed to two ideas. You got to have 3, 3, 3, and 4. Oh, I'm sorry, 3, 3, 3, and 1. So you're committed to the idea of that breakdown, but you also want to have 10 psukim of shofar. But you can't do both, meaning to say, you don't have enough Torah psukim to make 4 of shofar. Right? So you get your 4 by using a chatzotros pasuk. But to make up your 10 of shofar, you got to do an extra ksuvim. Again, it's a complicated idea. And in many ways, chatzotros and shofar have common themes. So Chazal felt you could use them. Now, after that, we have our chasima. And our chasima is very familiar to us once again. It's amazing how in the special musaf of Rosh Hashanah, you will encounter things that you're familiar with the rest of the year. Elokeinu v'lokei avoseinu. Okay. Tika b'shofar gadol l'cheiruseinu. Blow the great shofar to proclaim the end of the Golus. This is exactly the bracha that we recite 3 times a day in the Shemona Esrei. That is incorporated with some elaboration in the chasima of shofros. Now, the actual chasima is this. And this also needs to be focused on. Ki ata shaymeya kol shofar. You hear the voice of the shofar. Umazin trua. And you hearken to the trua, sound. So what are the two expressions? You hear the sound of the shofar. Your ma'azin trua. What's the repetition there? Ein do melach, no one is like you. Baruch ata Hashem, Shomeya, not Lahazin, Shomeya, Ko, Truas, Amo Yisrael. Now, look at the zigzagging here. We initially linked up the verb Shomeya with Kol Shofar. We linked up the verb Hazana with Trua. We then go back to the first verb Shomeya, but we don't connect it to Trua, we connect it to Shofar, but we add the word Kol. Right, why are you switching your verbs and switching your objects back and forth? So there's a beautiful pshat from the Prima Gadim. And the Prima Gadim is one of the great poskim, one of the great commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. He usually does not comment on davening, but he gives a very beautiful pshat. First of all, what is the difference between the verb lishmoa, to hear, and lahazin, to hearken? So he wants to say, although there's a Rashi that says the opposite, but he wants to say that lishmoa is when I'm right next to you so I can hear you. Lahazin is when I'm far away from you so I have to bend my head in your direction. So shemiya is karov, hazana is meirachot. Now, what is the difference between shofar and trua? So he wants to say the stam kol shofar is a tekiya. The trua is the broken sound. Okay, now he then says, shofar, tekiya, represents tzaddikim, who are righteous, because they're strong, straight, unwavering, unbroken, consistent. Trua are the people who kind of break up their lives. Their lives are not so straight. They represent people who are not serving Hashem properly. So now, with these three ideas, Shemiya versus Hazana. Okay, I mentioned two ideas. Okay. The two ideas. Shemiya is Karov, Hazana is Mirachok, Kol Shofar is Tekiya, representing Tzadikin. Trua is people who are sinners. So now let's go through the language of the Bracha. Initially we say, Ata Shomeya Kol Shofar. You, God, listen to the Shofar. You listen to the Tekiya. You're very, very close to the tzaddikim, because they've made themselves close to you. But what about the trua? What about the people who sin, the people who will disintegrate? They are very far from you. But as far as they are from you, you hearken. Kavyachol, it's as if Hashem bends his ear to hear the stirrings in their heart, the yearnings in their heart to serve Hashem. It may be so imperceptible that even they themselves are not aware of it. It's like Hashem putting his ear to your chest, stethoscope, to hear that little bit of stirring. So, Lagabi the Tzadikim, Shomeya, Hashem is right here. Lagabi the person who's not a tzaddik, Hashem is still hearkening for that little bit of yearning to do tshuva. But eventually, when that yearning, the trua of the heart, becomes a kol, when it manifests itself externally by actions and deeds, then Hashem is Shomeya. Hashem is as close to the Baal Shuva, if not more so, than he is to the Tzaddik. So what starts off as Hazana Meirachok becomes a Shemiya Meikarov. Right? That's very beautiful. It actually fits the language of the Bracha very, very exactly. Okay, we'll stop here. I wish you all a Ksivasim Mitzvah. What time is the Slichos tomorrow? Do you know, Tatsi? 6:40 in the center. 7:15. So it's only 15 minutes earlier. Okay, very good. Okay.